I'd like to begin by maybe asking you if you've ever been lonely. I mean really lonely. Have you ever been really lonely? I can remember when I was a kid at Mahaffey Camp, I had a bunch of friends. We always ran around together. But the first year I was there, they had jobs and I didn't. And so they would have to work during certain parts of the day. And so I couldn't hang around with them. And I can remember, you know, walking around that camp and singing, "Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely." I thought that was loneliness, you know. But I wasn't. I wasn't really lonely. I thought I was, but that's how kids think. I can remember another time when I was a little lonelier, and I was in the middle of a whole bunch of people. I went to Toccoa Falls College from the University of Pittsburgh, and I transferred in the middle of the year. It was January 12th. I arrived there on that campus in northeast Georgia, and I knew one person there. His name was Paul. He was the guy that drove me down. I was put in a room with a guy I didn't know and didn't have anything in common with him. And I can remember sitting there evenings thinking, what have I done? Why did I leave Pennsylvania? This is so lonely here. And it took me a while before that feeling went away. I can remember another time I was lonely, and I really didn't have maybe a good reason to be, or maybe I did, I'm not sure. I had just left a church I'd pastored for 10 years. And they were, I think, as I look back on it, the 10 most difficult years of my life I'd spent there. But during those years, I made rich friendships with people in the church and people in the community. And then bang, all of a sudden, God called me out of there to a loving congregation, to a great place to be in a great town with a beautiful home and with friendly people. And as much as I loved Kerwinsville from the day I got here, I can remember sitting in my study crying. Because I was lonely, because of that transition. Now, as lonely as I felt during those times, I would say I've probably never known real deep loneliness. I think real deep loneliness maybe belongs to people like the missionary who finds herself in a foreign field in Africa where she's trying desperately to learn the culture and really has no one who's like her there. Or maybe loneliness belongs to the man who has lost his wife and they didn't have any kids. And it's just him rumbling around in that big old house. I would think that's a severe kind of loneliness that can come into your life. And maybe some of you know that kind of loneliness that I've not personally experienced. It is ironic indeed that we live in one of the most connected of societies with our cell phones and our instant messengers and our email, even picture phone, and yet we can still be very lonely. And so my question this morning is, how do you cope with loneliness? How should you cope with loneliness, whether it's the loneliness of a 12-year-old kid rumbling around Mahaffey Camp or the loneliness of a widow or widower? How do you deal with that? How do you cope with it? Before we look into the Word of God, let's talk about it a little more. Because in order to understand what the Word of God says to us about loneliness, I think we need to understand some things like the causes of loneliness. I thought about this week, and I thought loneliness can really... The causes of it can be lumped into a couple different categories. One of the categories is loneliness can be caused by external circumstances. And by that, I mean you can become lonely because of something that has nothing to do with you. You didn't do it, but the circumstances you're in have brought you loneliness. For example, death of a loved one can bring loneliness. And anyone who's lost a loved one knows the loneliness that that brings. You didn't do anything to cause it, hopefully. You didn't do anything to cause it. It's outside of your control, and yet it affects you in a profound way. There are other things besides death that does it. Divorce can cause loneliness. And maybe you're the innocent party in it. You didn't do this. That he or she demanded it. And there you are sitting there at home alone. And people who have been through divorce, they tell me that it can be worse than dealing with a death. In fact, I had a gentleman. He had lost his wife. And then he had divorced a second wife. He lost his first wife to death and his second one to divorce. He said, this is worse. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Because death, it brings grief. But divorce brings that grief. Plus, it brings feelings of betrayal. Sometimes feelings of failure that really aren't even appropriate for you to have. And so while you're dealing with the grief, you deal with those feelings. On top of that, sometimes family and friends will really be there for you when there's a death. But when there's a divorce, sometimes they kind of stand back. Sometimes they don't know that they need to be there for you. They don't understand the loneliness. Another cause of loneliness can be the loss of friendships. When you lose friends or groups of friends, you can experience loneliness. When I was in college, I hung out with, at the university, oh, my mom's here. Mom, you're going to hear this. Boy, you probably didn't even know. Okay, Mom, true confession time. When I was in college, I hung out with boys that I shouldn't have been hanging out with at the University of Pittsburgh. And you knew that, and you prayed for me, I know. And I can remember when Jesus was working in my life, and I realized these friendships I have, they are not drawing me toward Jesus. They are actually holding me down. I am friends with people who are holding me away from God and from being everything I should be like Him. I've got to just cut myself loose from that. And I have to tell you, those weeks when I wasn't at all the parties, when I wasn't hanging around with people that I liked hanging around with, they were lonely weeks. Friday night at 9 o'clock can be a real lonely time on a secular university if you don't have Christian friends to hang with. And during those weeks, I was lonely because I'd lost friendship. Now, it's really important to know that you can't always blame loneliness on external circumstances like death and things like that. There are sometimes, and you have to own up to it, sometimes your loneliness can come from personal causes. You did it. I did it. Sometimes I cause the loneliness I experience myself just by what I've done, and you probably do too. For example, anger can cause loneliness. Have you ever been around people who blow their cool pretty easy? You like being around them? No, not at all. If you're the kind of person who can really lose your temper quickly, chances are people aren't going to want to hang around you a whole lot, and that factor in your personality is something that can distance people from you, and you can find yourself quite lonely. Even not losing your temper, maybe you don't lose your temper, but maybe your anger comes out in the form of griping and complaining and just whining. Well, you'll be kind of lonely if that's the way you're behaving. It just happens. A second internal cause, something you and I can do ourselves that can make us lonely, is to withdraw from others on purpose. Say, I don't want to be around those other people. I don't like to be with them. I know a guy who hates to be wrong. He's a professional. Everything he does right. When he's in a group of people and they're discussing different ideas, you know, like, do you think we should do this or should we do that? He says his idea and he expects that everyone will say, oh, yeah, what he said. That's what we should do. And when they say, well, that's a good idea, but, you know, well, you need to think about this, this, and this, then he's mad. That makes him mad because people don't follow the suggestions he makes. That's just normal. That happens to me every Sunday. I make suggestions and people go home and don't follow them, you know? It's just part of life. But that man doesn't deal with that well, and he withdraws from people. He says, well, if they're not going to listen to what I have to say, then I'm just going to forget them. And he is a lonely man who lives alone. Lonely, because he's chosen to withdraw from others. Sometimes rejection, something inside of you, can bring loneliness. That is your rejection, you're rejecting other people. Well, if that's the way they're going to be, then I'll just write them off. I'll forget about them. Do you know anyone like that? I know a woman whose son married someone of whom she did not approve. She didn't approve of that tramp that he married. And so she out and out rejected her daughter-in-law from square one. And over the course of just a few months, rejected her son. Has no communication with him now. Additionally, her church family didn't visit her the way she thought they should. And because they failed to call on her one time when she was sick, she has just withdrawn from them. There she is. She rejected them. And on top of that, she has siblings who have rich lives where they get together with one another. And they used to invite her, but she was always like, I'm too busy. I don't want to go. And now they don't invite her anymore. So she's mad at them because they never invite her to something she wouldn't have gone to anyway. You know? She's very lonely. Sits in her house by herself. Her loneliness and the man before her and the other examples I've given are self-imposed loneliness. She did things, they did things that make them lonely. So how do you cope with that? I mean, whether it's something outside of your control, like a death or something of your own doing, how do you deal with loneliness? And I did a lot of research online for this week, and I came up with what I feel are pretty good answers, but they're inadequate overall. But I'm going to give them to you anyway, just in case they help you. These are some of the inadequate, but pretty good overall, or pretty good, but inadequate overall, whichever way you want to say that, answers. One of them is, society will tell you, if you're lonely, change your job. Maybe you need a new job. That's not a bad idea. Join a club. Join a bowling league downtown. You'll get to know some people. That's not bad. Get married. Yeah. That literally was one of the suggestions that was on that particular website. Get remarried. Okay. Travel. Move. Listen to music. Watch some television. Get online. We saw in a drama today how good that is. Read some books. Get a hobby. Set some new goals. Volunteer. Those are good ideas. I encourage you, if they're helpful to you, by all means, do those sorts of things. But let me tell you that those ideas are not complete. You can do all those things. You can still be lonely. You can do all those things and still be lonely. Even Christian friends can give you that kind of inadequate answer on how to cope with loneliness. I found a church website had 7 ways to deal with loneliness. They were almost like that website I gave you. And as I read them, I thought, you know, those aren't bad ideas. But I could have picked those up in Reader's Digest. I could have got them on Dr. Phil. They are not distinctly Christian. They are not distinctly biblical. And so what I want to give you today is some distinctly biblical answers to loneliness. And if you're going to get them, you're going to have to open a Bible, open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In a pew Bible, I would really love you all to be seeing this. So grab a Bible out of the pew and turn to page 1180. 2 Timothy chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me mention to you, someone said to me, two people have said to me recently, Pastor, I really love that translation in the pew. Can I have it? Yeah, just take it home with you. This says, if you're in need of a Bible, please feel free to take this one. Take it home with you. It's yours. It's a gift from the church. We'll get more. Because if you're reading it, that's really what we're looking for. So feel free to. Let me give you some distinctly biblical answers to the question of loneliness. Before we read the passage, let me give you the answer, and then I'll show it to you in the passage. If you want to get rid of your loneliness, maybe one of the things you'll have to do is let go of your hurts. If you're going to get rid of your loneliness, particularly if it is a self-imposed loneliness, one of the things you're going to have to do is let go of your hurts. Just let it go of your hurts. Often people are lonely because they've withdrawn from friends. They've withdrawn because they feel like they've been mistreated. And they're hanging on to that grudge, hanging on to that grief. And yet the Bible gives us great counsel on how to handle that. You're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a young pastor, and as he's writing, he says in verse 14, look at it, he says, Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. Pause. Okay, you get it? Alexander must have been a bad guy, and he didn't like Paul's message, so he gave Paul grief. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, and catch this has got to be the most painful part of what happened to Paul with Alexander. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Now look at the next sentence. May it not be held against them. Hear what Paul's saying? There's anger in his voice. Watch out for Alexander the metalworker. There's loneliness. No one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. And then you hear Paul drop it. May it not be held against them. I'm not going to hang on to that kind of anger. I was talking to George Cannon this week, and I said, there was a sign about holding grudges in front of your church for several weeks. What did it say? And he said, it says, the heaviest thing you can carry is a grudge. Did you see that up in front of Kermansville Christian Church? The heaviest thing you can carry is a grudge. I like that. I like that a lot. George said I have to pay him royalties if I quote it, so... Someone else said that releasing a grudge, is really not setting the other person free, but it's setting yourself free. That's true, isn't it? And then every now and then I feel like I come up with something profound, and I came up with this one on my own, I think. And it's this. Carrying a grudge is a very lonely task. It is. You know, I've been mad at people before, and I've said to my wife, who's my helpmate, who's my partner, who's my best friend, I've said to her, I am so mad at that person. And she looks at me and she says, hey, get over it. I'm like, I expected you to help me out here, you know? Right? Carrying a grudge is a very lonely task. And so a biblical answer to loneliness, if you want to lose the loneliness, lose the grudge. Let me give you a second biblical answer to loneliness. Take advantage of God's provision. Turn in your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 10. I got you kind of hopscotching. What is that thing they do? Hopscotching. Hopscotching, whatever it is. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10. And in a pew Bible, you're going to find this passage on page 1191. Okay? Here's the second answer. The first answer is, let go of the pain. The second answer is, take advantage of God's provision. I want you to see what God provides for your loneliness. You know, before we read in chapter 10, listen to this. I'm going to quote an earlier passage. When God created our world, he said, it's good. At the end of the days of creation, the Lord looked around and saw that it was what? Good. But there was one thing that wasn't good. In all that, there was only one thing that wasn't good, and that's back in Genesis. You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 2:18, it says, the Lord God said, it's not good for the human that I created here, for Adam, for man, to be alone. So I'm going to have to provide for his loneliness. And the marriage that Adam had to Eve was the cure for Adam's loneliness. Kind of neat if you think about that. So a godly, loving, Christ-centered marriage can help you with loneliness. Now hear this very carefully, okay? That's not God's only solution for everybody's loneliness. Sometimes you're in church and you listen to Christianity, and it just sounds like if you're not married, there's something wrong with you. And that is not true at all. There's a guy that you and I know who was never married and yet exemplified Christian life perfectly, and that's the Apostle Paul. Not perfectly, but well. There is someone who exemplified the Christian life perfectly who was not married. Who would that have been? Jesus. So while marriage is something to help you through loneliness, it is not the only thing to help you through loneliness. And in fact, I believe that God broadens his provision for loneliness when he creates something called the church. You know, you understand that the church is not this building. Everybody has that by now, right? It's not these walls. It's not these pews. In the New Testament, there were no buildings with steeples on top of them and little crosses on top of the steeple. There were homes. They met in homes. And so the church, when it says the church in the Bible, it's talking about the family of believers who gather together. You and I, we're the church. And what it says in the passage you're open to is that that's very important for you to be part of. Look at it. It's Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read two verses, 24 and 25. In verse 24, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Yesterday, pause, we're going to read 25 in a minute. Don't close your Bibles. Yesterday, we're sitting around there at the Alliance Men's Breakfast, and Russ Selfridge said to me, hey, are we going to go cut up that tree that's in Elaine's backyard? And I had doubled up on my commitments, and I made a commitment to go get my mom. That was a great way to get out of that manual labor of cutting up that tree, you know? But I said, hey, everybody, Russ is going up to cut that tree, you know? And as we were meeting together as part of the church, Dan Corman said, I'll go with you. And so Dan went up there. And Clyde Smith said, I'll go too. I'll go up there to organize it, manage it, you know, whatever. Right? Okay? That's what it's talking about when it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Look at the next verse. He says, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Oh, so even in the early church, there were people that just didn't bother coming to the services. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So God's solution for loneliness, number one, drop the grudges. Number two, grab a hold of his provision. Whatever it is for you, it certainly is the church. And the third solution to loneliness that I see in Scripture is found in 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And in a pew Bible again, you're going to find this on page 1202. God's best solution for loneliness is himself. Let me say it again. God's best solution for loneliness is himself. You talk to anyone who's married, and they'll tell you that a marriage cannot always be the cure for loneliness. In fact, you can be married and be very lonely if it's not a godly marriage. And you talk to anyone who's been in church for a while, anyone here will probably tell you, there are times a church family can just let you down, you know? You can be really lonely, and no one notices. No one's listening to the Spirit of God, and you're still lonely. But I tell you without question that God will always be there in your time of loneliness. Peter, we're going to read his words in just a minute, He says at another place in chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. He's always there for you. And the first place a believer should go with his loneliness is straight to God. The whole reason that Jesus died on a cross was so that you could have a relationship with Him, with God, through His blood. He is the bridge. He is the connection between you and God. His purpose in coming here to die on a cross was to die for your sins. In fact, you're looking at the verse. It's 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's you. Why? To bring you to God. Where can I go with my loneliness? To God. How can I get there? Through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So when you're lonely, you turn to God and say, God, I just have this emptiness in my life. I have this loneliness here. And I need You to fill it. And you follow the counsel of the song that was sung this morning. When you don't feel like He's filling it, you just trust Him and say, I will believe that You're here for me, God. Because I know that's the essence of faith. Get with God personally. Let Him fill your heart with what is necessary. Let me give you specific ways to do this. One way is to hear Him through His Word. To read His Word with regularity. You know, I could tell my wife was having a bad day the other day. In the middle of the day, she's reading her Bible. Oh, what are you doing that for, honey? It's not devotion time. You know? When you're lonely in the middle of the day or the middle of the night or whenever it is, not that Laurel was lonely, by the way, but if you're lonely, whatever it is, get into His Word. Open it up. Read it. That is where He speaks to you. Psalm chapter 68 says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads prisoners forth with singing, but the rebellious are like a sun-scorched land. God is there for you when you look to His Word. And speak to Him in prayer. Tell Him you're lonely. Tell Him how you feel. Let Him know what is on your heart. That's what prayer is. Prayer is indeed taking a list of things to God, as Mr. Peters did this morning when he prayed for the people who are on our list. That indeed is prayer, but there is an aspect of prayer that is much deeper than that. When you open your heart to God and you say, oh God, I need You. I need You so. Please come to me. And He does that. Psalmist writes in Psalm 25, it is a prayer. He's talking to God and he says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. That's prayer. Go to Him for that and worship Him. I don't care how good or bad you sing, neither does God. He just wants to hear your voice. Worship Him in song, or worship Him by reading a psalm aloud to Him, or write Him a poet, or draw Him a poem, or write Him, or write Him a poem, or draw Him a picture, or dance Him a dance. I don't care what you do. Worship Him with your heart. Let Him know that you love Him, and you see that He is worthy of your adoration. So how do you deal with loneliness? Join a club, take up golf, do some bowling. Do you understand why I said those are kind of adequate but inadequate ways? I would encourage you to go straight to God and look for His provision. You might need to drop your grievances, your grudges. You do need to plug into the church, brothers and sisters in Christ who can connect with you on a deeper level. But most importantly, you need to plug into God. I would like to just take a moment as we wrap this up to pray for you in your loneliness. And I want us to sing a song that many of you know by heart. And I'm not even going to tell you where it is in the hymnal, because you probably know it. At least most of you do.